The Ogden Music Festival is taking place May 31st through June 2nd at Fort Buenaventura in Ogden, Utah. The lineup includes Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway, Sarah Jarosz, Hayes Carl, Salice, Say She She, Las Cafeteras, Pixie and the Partygrass Boys, and so much more. Other activities include on-site camping, workshops, and a jam camp with headlining artists, yoga, and a kids zone. Kids 16 and under are free. Go to ofoam.org to book your tickets. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. The city is writing a new plan to guide how we move around. So how could it shape your commutes? Plus, a new liquor law is impacting the bars and restaurants scheduled to open this summer. Executive producer Emily Means is here to help break down the news of the week. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, Emily Means.
Good morning, Allie. How are ya?
I'm doing well. Before we get into the top stories early in this week, I need to offer a quick clarification on something.
Okay.
So last week, you and I talked about the anti-trans bathroom bill that the Utah legislature passed. It is going into effect in short order, and everyone is trying to understand what it means because they write these things, and it almost feels like it's written to be confusing. So according to the ACLU's analysis, which an organization of basically lawyers, and our reading of the text of the legislation, here is how it breaks down. So in public schools, what is being regulated is that students, all people in public schools, are using sex-designated restrooms. So the bathroom is a sign that says boys, girls, whatever. And changing rooms that align with the sex on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in other government-owned or controlled places outside of public schools, think your county rec center, the Utah State Capitol, public universities, we are just regulating sex-designated changing rooms. So women's locker room, men's locker room. But within the bill, it says, if that changing room or locker room has a bathroom attached to it, that bathroom is also being regulated.
That's the way we understand it and the way the ACLU has spelled it out for us.
Yeah. This is the best we can make of it right now.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing. And if you're confused by it and also interested in just kind of giving some feedback on this particular law, the ACLU has a survey out. It's called HB 257 Impact Assessment. They want to know how this is impacting you in your schools. So we will link that survey in our show notes for you if you're interested in taking it and giving that feedback.
And you can also submit a request for legal services with the ACLU, which is something interesting. So lots of resources over there. We'll link them in the show notes. Okay. The big news this week is that Salt Lake City has decided to write a 20-year transportation plan that's going to be used to basically determine what kind of projects we fund related to how we move around this city. The last time they wrote a transportation plan, Emily, I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
1990, pre-Olympics.
Right?
That's wild.
So much has changed since then, Allie. Think about all the ways that we've grown upwards.
We built the tracks.
Yes, we built the tracks.
Well, you and I didn't, but
I was there, actually. Yeah, laying down the rails. But
the golden spike of the Salt Lake City tracks.
Yes. Yeah, this is pretty exciting, Allie. A 20-year transportation plan for Salt Lake City. And the point of this plan is to help people move around the city regardless of the mode they choose. So, you know, I think a lot of people would probably agree with the assessment that we're mostly built for cars in this city and county and state.
I mean, one of the biggest, it feels like, transit-related news stories in downtown last year was that we got a bus lane.
So, right.
Yeah, we're definitely car forward.
That's the Utah way. And so Salt Lake City is trying to plan for the future and maybe a future that doesn't lean so heavily on cars. So they've got a few priorities that they've listed out here in this plan. Big one, zero traffic deaths, which seems reasonable to me. Mayor Aaron Mendenhall adopted this Vision Zero goal last year, which is zero traffic deaths. We're shooting for that. The goal is 2035, which seems really far away, you know, if we're talking about human lives.
More than 10 years.
Yes, more than 10 years.
I mean, if it were a war, we would be like, how about now?
Exactly, exactly. And part of this 20-year transportation plan, which is called Connect SLC, that includes creating an action plan for getting to zero traffic deaths. So that's really important, Allie. That's something that stuck out to me from this plan.
Yeah.
Other things include invest in active transportation networks. So we're talking about walk-in. We're talking about cycling. I think that we're starting to see this play out more and more in Salt Lake with the completion of the Nine Line Trail on 9th South, right?
Yeah. And now we're going to get a Nine Line on 4th South, which is incredible.
Yes. And, you know, we're talking about the Green Loop, the network of parks and trails that will kind of connect our downtown, making transit more convenient and reliable. Talking about buses, baby. We're talking about trains. We've got a lot coming down the tracks in terms of transit as we barrel toward the 2034 Olympics.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it seems like other priorities that we've seen just kind of recently popping up related to transit are shorter wait times and more frequency and more routes. But it always feels like we have to choose between frequency and routes. Does this plan imply that we will yet again have to choose between frequency and routes? Because it's always like, all right, guys, what do you want to do? You want the train to come every 15 minutes or you want to add more stops?
It does feel like that.
That's the trolley problem in Salt Lake City.
It's all coming together. Well, so this plan basically lists this as a priority for us, making transit convenient and reliable. The devil's in the details, of course, and our transit provider in this city is the Utah Transit Authority. So, like, what is UTA willing to move on? You know, like, what can they provide us? What can we support on their end of things? So I think that all remains to be seen. Probably the biggest takeaway for the city in this plan, though, is healing the east-west divide, Allie. And so much so that a transportation planner said, it's clear the east-west divide is the single largest transportation issue in this city.
Yeah. I mean, redlining will do that to you.
Yeah. What are we talking about when we're talking about the east-west divide?
Well, the biggest thing that I think about is that we built an interstate and then later widened it and are now considering widening it again. And I'm talking about I-15 that essentially cuts our city in half.
Yeah.
Separating the east and the west. I mean, you want to talk about healing, like it's a scar. It's a scar through our city in so many ways.
Yeah.
So people fly out of exit ramps and they're on, you know, in things that are emerging neighborhoods. That's dangerous. The tracks also runs that way. So like if you're trying to get, I don't know, to the Northwest Rec Center, this is always my example.
It's a good one.
And you get to the train crossing, you might miss your step class because we've got these trains that kind of come through and it feels like you don't even necessarily know. Another example is like if you live in the ballpark neighborhood, the train runs there too, the tracks runs there too, and you might hit a train crossing when you're headed to Costco from State Street.
On 17 South,
Yeah, on 17 South. And so there's that. Like, that feels very day-to-day, right?
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing is there was this interesting, terrible statistic in Jose Davila's story in the Salt Lake Tribune about this plan that the West Side makes up a third of the city's population, but three-quarters of its fatal crashes. So we're also seeing, like, I don't know, like fatalities, like the psychological impacts of knowing there are a lot of fatalities in your neighborhood happening as well. And that's also East-West divide stuff. Like, that's just like, we've got transportation crisis happening because of the way that we've designed things.
Right.
But what does it look to, like, to heal that necessarily? Because now they want to, the state wants to expand I-15. They don't want to bury it or tear it up.
Right, right. Well, I think that's, like, that's the money question, Allie, because the city can't do anything on its own, really. I mean, like, like, there are some things we could do, right? I think you mentioned there's going to be a Nine Line-esque trail down 4th South, right? You could say that that's, like, an effort to heal the east-west divide, connecting the west side of the city to the east side of the city. The city is also, you know, trying to make it easier to signal to people how long they can expect to wait for a train when it passes by. I think the city council put some money toward, like, putting up signs at railroad crossings, right? So,
but that was last summer. Have you seen any of those?
I haven't seen it yet, but I think that
please
maybe
email us if you've seen a wait time sign at a train crossing.
I think they're
yet.
Working on a pilot project, but, like, my point is there are these small things, right, that the city can kind of do it on its own. But I already mentioned the Utah Transit Authority as a stakeholder in this. You mentioned UDOT, the Utah Department of Transportation. They own I-15. So, like, you know, that's a huge stakeholder in this conversation. And then we've got Union Pacific that runs trains on the rails right through the middle of the city. So, you know, how much can Salt Lake actually do on its own? Well, John Larson, the city's transportation director, I think kind of anticipated this question. And he was like, the point is that if we create this plan, it shows that we are really serious about fixing these transportation problems in our city. And it gives us a little more of an edge when we're at the table with these stakeholders. You know, we can say we've gone through this public process. Our residents really want this thing to happen. Our elected officials voted to put this plan forward and we've put money toward it. So what can you give us? And I don't know. I don't know what UDOT can give us. Would they stop their expansion of I-15? Probs not. Would Union Pacific be willing to bury their rails? Probs not. But, like, what can
Union
they give
Pacific
us?
Is like, we're older than the Emancipation Proclamation, but, like, we love that you're manifesting here. I feel like I'm coming across really negative. I think what it is that in my mind, I'm already expectation setting because we're in this unusual but also really familiar place as Salt Lakers where it's like, we're making the plan. We're dreaming big. We should throw every single freaking thing at the wall and see what sticks. I'm always all for that. There is an opportunity for public comment coming up here. And, like, this is the time that we should all go all in like gorillas and just, like, throw everything. And we should fully expect that these stakeholders that are historically mediocre partners to our city and our dreaming big will push back heavily and that they will have a lot, probably more influence than us at the table. But look for more of the kind of things the city council can do because of this, like we're funding wait time signs. Like if it's $100,000, $200,000, you know, whatever $1,000 project, we can usually find that money. We're just not going to be able to find $5 billion to bury the rails by ourselves.
Not by themselves, that's for sure. Well, even I want to go even beyond signs because I think that's kind of like if I see a sign at a railroad crossing, that doesn't inspire me. But Allie, have you driven down 8th East recently?
Oh, that's
so
that,
beautiful.
The really quiet kind of wide one that feels like it's right before the start of the university.
It's
chaos.
It's a neighborhood street and, you know, goes through the entirety of the city. Well, what the city has been doing on 8th East is putting in a curb extension. And I have driven on 8th East recently, and Allie, those are a pain to get around, but that's the point, right? Like, it's supposed to slow you down. And so, you know, Salt Lake City can take steps on its own to make these streets more livable for pedestrians, for cyclists, for residents. And I think that's, I would be proud to see more of that laid out in this plan and taken action on by the city council. So,
yeah,
I'm trying to be optimistic here.
The next public hearing about this will be the Salt Lake City Council meeting on Tuesday, May 7th.
Yep.
And if you feel passionately about this plan, look it over. We'll link more information in the episode description. Go to this meeting and get heard. Or you can just write in as well. Like, you can email the council and get your comment in before the meeting. You don't, you know, I mean, God, getting to a city council meeting, A, true. Who has the time or the babysitters? B, I don't wish that upon my worst enemy.
Lots of ways to participate.
Lots
and
of
remember,
ways.
It's your city. It's your business.
Oh, no. Not you previewing budget season with the budget motto.
Salt Lake, I invite you to seriously upgrade your post-work hikes, picnics, or backpacking trips with Basecamp Treats freeze-dried snacks and desserts. Here is why I love freeze-dried snacks for an outdoor adventure. Top of the list, they are weightless and durable. Also up there, no mess. You can enjoy Basecamp Treats fire-roasted s'mores without gooey hands. And besides the function of it all, there is something about the way we can change something's texture but retain its flavor that totally delights me. Basecamp Snacks' innovative approach to freeze-drying snacks is award-winning. They were named Utah's most creative dessert. And yeah, from raspberry cream puffs to strawberry bark and freeze-dried pickles, they have character. Treat yourself on your next outdoor adventure. Visit basecamptreats.com to see all their products. You will be shopping local, and you'll get 20% off your online purchase with promo code CITYCAST20. That's basecamptreats.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
Okay, the second piece of news to discuss this week is a little bit evolving, but last year, my New Year's resolution, as you and many of our listeners know, was to have at least one drink at every bar in Salt Lake County. I did it.
Yay.
All 212 in 365 days. Thank you. Still waiting for my diploma.
It's lost in the mail.
But since then, I gotta say, like, I hadn't really returned to the bar scene with as much fervor. But a couple weeks ago, I sat down and was like, it's time to update my spreadsheet because the bars, like, they didn't all close when I drank at them. there's plenty of ongoing news.
Local Salt Lake woman closes every bar in Salt Lake with her project.
By deleting her Instagram account.
Yes.
So I was doing a little bit of reading up and getting kind of the pulse of what is new with the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Services, formerly known as the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, and who's been getting bar licenses, who's on the list for one. And one of the things that I found out from Stuart Melling over at Gastronomic SLC, who...
Love Stuart.
God, I really just love this guy. He's so delightful. He's so great on this restaurant beat. He is the OG. He's been doing it forever. If you even just go to Gastronomic SLC and type in DABS, you can see all his reporting from every single DABS meeting or rule change. His articles are so easy to read. Can't say enough good things. But in the February meeting, Emily, there came this kind of new rule, and it is really shaking things up.
Okay.
So, as you know, Every year, the Utah legislature deals with all the liquor lawmaking that they want to do during the general session in one bill. It's called the Liquor Omnibus Bill. Mm-hmm. And in this year's bill, like, there's so much packed into this legislation that it wasn't until February when it was kind of sitting on the DABS commissioners' desks in the meeting that they were like, okay, what's this? Oh, okay, this is the whole rule about how we need to be handing out bar licenses differently. Like, they're dealing with it. It's all happening before our eyes, right? So the general rule in Utah, which is totally arbitrary, is that there's one bar license available for every 10,200 people. So normally the protocol for these DABS meetings, which Ben Winslow has described as a gauntlet, is that they're trying to make the most of the licenses. So like, say you've got five licenses before you that you can give out. You don't know how many you might have next month. You don't know if you're only going to, like, if no one else forfeits a license this year and our population doesn't change enough, this might be all you have as a commissioner for the whole year. So the way that they have dealt with handing out licenses has been to say, unfortunately, we know this is incredibly expensive. It's incredibly difficult for you and frustrating, but we can't give you this thing until you're ready to open your doors, because we can't let it just sit on your desk. We can't waste them. They're precious, right?
So stressful.
The lifeblood of a bar is a liquor license. So they've always had this rule. You got to be ready to open your doors. You want to go to the DABS meeting and ask for a license? You got to be staffed. Like, you could open tonight as soon as you've got this in hand.
And crazy, because what if they don't get it?
Right. You're just paying to staff. You're paying to keep ice in the building. You're paying to basically be ready to open. Like, you got to have the chairs ordered before you've got the liquor license. If you go many other places in this country to how people open a business, that's not how this goes. So there's a clause in this liquor omnibus bill that basically tells the DABS, no more of that. Whatever you've got to give out. And whoa, it doesn't, like, if the bar meets the statutory requirements for a license, you got to, and you've got one on your desk, you've got to give it to them. So during the February meeting, they just gave them all away. They gave out everything they had, which means we've got bars right now in Salt Lake City, like Scoville, which is the new kind of wing house in Sugar House.
Oh, the Scoville system. Have you seen Hot Ones, Allie?
No.
Really? The chicken wing show?
No, I don't watch it.
Okay, it's fine.
I know. I've seen clips, but it's, I don't know, it's just not for me. I'm like, cool,
it's okay.
I'm bored.
It's okay, but it's the only reason why I know that Scoville means, like, the spiciness scale. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's some more about Scoville's in Sugar House, is that we don't really know much about it, but there was a post on Reddit that was basically like, I'm the Scoville's owner, and you probably know me because for 10 years I owned and ran a very well-known wing company in town. Wink, wink, I'm sure you can guess. After being wrapped up in an ongoing legal battle with my old partner for the last year, I've decided to do my own thing.
Whoa.
So this may be a local wing company, like former partner branching out and doing their own thing, almost across the street in Sugar House. But anyway.
Doing wing companies, huh?
Yeah. Scoville's has not even finished building their bar yet. They posted on Instagram a couple days and were like, bar is coming along, and they already have a license.
Whoa.
I know that some people who might be new here are listening to this and being like, you guys, but please understand, this has not been the law. Like, this feels dramatic in an industry that is so often given crumbs to work with to try and make money with very narrow margins.
Right. No, this is huge. I mean, this spins the bar scene on its head.
Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing that's, like, kind of maybe bad about it is, I don't want to say bad, but, like, there are still instances, like the meeting last month, where there are more people who want a license than licenses that they have. Mm-hmm. And so instead of the line of questioning being like, are you ready to open tomorrow? Which feels, I mean, it sucks, but it feels like kind of meritocratic, you know? Mm-hmm. Now the line of questioning is like, well, why should you have this license today? What differentiates you? What's like, it's a job interview.
Yeah.
And that feels like more subjective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we really make these people jump through hoops to serve us a cocktail in this state. But yeah. I mean, I guess this opens the door to so many other bars opening in this city and this state. But, you know, you mentioned Scoville's. Is there another one you wanted to highlight here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What so the other thing I should say, because you're right, this ultimately, we're going to get more here. So like right now, there are zero bar licenses. But one of the other rules that was in the omnibus bill is that we're getting more bar licenses in the state. Like this whole one for every 10,200 is about to be reworked. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get more. We don't know how many more. We'll find out at the May DABS meeting. In July, there are going to be bar licenses, potentially a lot. Listen to me. If you want to open a bar in Salt Lake City, even if it's in 2026, you should probably apply for your bar license right now. Because again, if we're just handing these things out as they come and we're about to get an influx, but we don't know when we'll get an influx again, this is it, buddy. Which, who I'm talking to includes, I was absolutely kind of flabbergasted to see them on the wait list for a bar license right now, the Sun Trap.
Really? Didn't they close?
They forfeit their bar license a couple, what, like a month ago?
Uh-huh.
Now they're back on the wait list. So I don't know if it's the same owners trying to get back the license. I don't know if it's new ownership already trying to swoop in and revive the Sun Trap. The Sun Trap has been hooked up to a heart machine for the past few years, it feels. But yeah. They're on the wait list.
Wow. Is the wait list a good place to be? How long is the wait list?
God, I don't know.
Is it like thousands of bars?
No, there are only three bars in Salt Lake City on the list right now. So like they'll probably get one if we have enough licenses by like June or July. But it's hard to say because it really is up to the commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There are only two of the new bars that have been given licenses since January 1st that are open right now.
Yeah.
And that is On Top Lounge, which is the new club that's next to the International.
Right. I've seen that. The big yellow gates.
Mm-hmm. The big yellow gates. Felt Bar and Eatery, which took over
Pago on Main.
Pago, which used to be J-Dogs. Have you been there?
I have, Allie. It's so good.
Is it?
It is really delicious. Yes. The cocktails are fantastic. I think it's partially owned by a fella who used to work at the post office next to Tekashi. Yes.
Yeah.
And the drinks are creative and tasty, and the food is the same. So it's a great spot.
Okay. I mean, the problem with that, that is a really big space, which I feel like can be a curse for a restaurant.
Yes.
Like, I would so much rather have a space that feels comedically too small, like Bodega next door, than
Eva's,
than be working with just a massive space. I can't tell if I think that space is cursed, because Pago's excellent and they couldn't make it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, Allie. I mean, if J-Dogs can't hack it, who can? But
hello.
And especially on Main Street, the rent is so damn high. So here's hoping that we find some stability in Felt.
Yeah. Well, there's another place that also got their license recently. They're not supposed to open until May, but it's called Neptune's Palace. Have you heard about this?
No, but it sounds corny and I like that.
Well, so it's going to be on 4th South in the Gateway, and it's meant to be like a tiki bar situation.
Okay.
But here's a quote from a write-up that Josh Jones did in the Downtown Alliance website. The name truly lives up to the Willy Wonka meets Hunter S. Thompson vibes that we've heard about through the rumor mill. What?
Wait, I kind of feel like this is a place you would love.
Willy Wonka meets Hunter S. Thompson? I can't even... First of all, two of the most obnoxious men on earth. Count me out.
I hope this place is like the only seating available is waterbeds.
Yeah.
Or like slip and slides or something.
Mm-hmm.
slip and slides, but it's like, I feel like though this is the problem, is the Willy Wonka type of imagination would be like, it's incredible, it's a slide that people would go down, but then the Hunter S. Thompson part would be like, made of honey, and you'd be like, oh no, no, like,
stuck Willy on a Wonka slide, shouldn't be my on literal acid. Nightmare.
This was never the plan. Like, yeah. Anyway. The other thing that is really exciting before we move on from this is that we have a reopening date for the Garage on Beck.
Yay!
Which is one of my favorite bars in this entire city. It is my favorite summer bar, frankly. Mm. It's got one of the best patios. They had a devastating fire in October. The DABS has been kind of working with them so they don't have to forfeit their license while they're closed for repairs. Like, that they, if they show kind of in good faith, like, look, we're working on it, like, you know, they can keep their license. Under all circumstances, the owner says they will be reopened by June 6th.
That's great news.
I know.
Aww.
I cannot wait.
I'm
I know,
so
because
happy.
They have like national acts booked to play there starting that day.
Yeah. Can I confide in you, Allie?
Oh, no.
I haven't been to the Garage. I've never
what,
been.
Emily?
I know. But I appreciate
it's right
it
there.
As an institution in our city. And that's why I'm excited. However, I am also excited because I've never been and I really just need to go.
Well, to be fair, there is nowhere to park because the people who own the lot next to them won't just let them use the gravel lot. So
yeah. Well, what's the transportation plan for the Garage on Beck in the city's yeah. transportation plan?
Exactly. We should get shirts made. What's the city's transportation plan for the Garage on Beck?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do shout-outs and get out of here. You go first.
Okay, my shout-out is to both the Salt Lake County Health Department and the Salt Lake City Fire Department. They sprung into action last week when a truck crashed and spilled who knows how much diesel fuel into Parley's Creek, which sounds like a nightmare situation, but, you know, quick response by these two departments. And as far as we know, as of Monday morning, people and their dogs still need to avoid water bodies in Tanner Dog Park. Do you ever walk your dog in Tanner Park, Allie?
I have to tell you, I used to, but I recently swore that place off because it just smells like melting poop all the time. And
honestly,
the water body in there is always disgusting and your dog should always avoid it. Don't at me.
That's according to health director Allie Vallarta. Also avoid Sugar House Park and Hidden Hollow Park. Apparently the fuel could irritate both your skin and your dog's skin, so that's good to know. But yeah, as of Monday morning, the health department is still waiting on test results, so we are happy to update you once we know what's happening there. But shout out to our civil servants. What's your shout out, Allie?
My shout out is to Dr. Bonnie Baxter, local legend, director of the Great Salt Lake Institute at Westminster University. If you don't know who Dr. Baxter is, she's a microbiologist and a general badass who is basically, she would be mad if she heard me say the person. She is one of the people who has been sounding the alarm about the crisis at the Great Salt Lake for more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, she was kind of profiled in this really lovely Q&A written by Brooke Larson, who's a Salt Laker, who also writes for High Country News.
Yeah.
And the story was called, Are the Great Salt Lake Scientists All Right?
Oh.
And basically, it was her talking to Dr. Baxter about, like, the emotional toll
yeah.
of watching this lake die and like being a part of this research and how like formative it's been. And she's been there kind of like since, you know, they started to realize things were going horribly wrong. And she's been, I think her research and her guidance on this from a scientific perspective has been a real rallying cry.
Yeah.
She said in this story, Emily, that she makes 30 new contacts a week of people who want to be involved with the lake somehow.
Oh.
Like writers, researchers, political figures, like you name it. Like she's like, I don't have the staff to answer the phones. And I think that's like, that in and of itself is a testament to her work, right? Like
right.
she wrote an obituary for the lake. Like she's not just in the lab. Like she has done an incredible job translating this crisis for all of us.
So shout out to Bonnie Baxter. We're grateful for you.
We're lucky. Like, we're lucky thank to you, have and I'm people sorry. Who care so hard, you know?
Yeah. And don't give up. Like, don't totally fatigue themselves. Yeah. Like, care for the lake and care for themselves enough that they can be in this kind of fight a decade later.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, let's get out of here. Emily, have a great day.
Have a great day, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city.